Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Rock Thomas as my special expert guest. Rock is a successful entrepreneur, acclaimed peak performance coach, radio personality, keynote speaker, and author of The Power of Your Identity. Rock has traveled the world to help reshape and empower the lives of thousands of people through his seminars, books, and audio CDs. He became a self-made millionaire by developing several successful businesses, including six RE/MAX franchises with over 250 agents that sell $1 billion of real estate annually. His RE/MAX franchises have been consistently voted the top-producing offices in Quebec for the 10 years he has been running them. Good morning, Rock, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Corey. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to spend a little bit of time with you.
You know, I was going through your website, and it seems as if you are making a remarkable contribution to health and wellness and to the lives of thousands, perhaps even millions. But now you speak on a great variety of topics. Perhaps you can give us some background about your business and how it evolved to your personal development and training company.
Well, Corey, that's a loaded question. I would say that for me, pain has been a great teacher. And what I found is that a lot of people numb their own pain. The painkillers out there are far too available today. And I give you a simplistic example. We've all heard of retail therapy. TV, gossip, food, alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, whatever you want. And in the past, I've used a lot of those things in order to numb the pain of failure until I woke up one day and I said, that's it. There's got to be a better way. And I really went on a trek, a bit like you would enter into Google. I became a search engine for the great teachers in the world. And I traveled the world and spent over $400,000 accessing wisdom. And I came back, and quite frankly, all I did was I'd take whatever I'd learned and I'd talk to anybody about it that would listen. And I guess that at the end of the day, those that teach are those that really need to learn. And that's really where it came from, is my desire to improve my own life. But in the process, I realized that the more I talked about it, the more I shared concepts with people, the more I learned myself. And then my life propelled forward and I got a sense of fulfillment.
Now, why real estate amongst all the different potential career opportunities? What is it about buying and selling homes and real estate that attracts you and turns you on?
Well, that's an interesting story because I kind of fell into it. You know that sometimes we say that it's darkest before the dawn. In the late 80s, I was working in an airline and my father was ill due to cancer, and I flew twice to Australia in a short period of time. And when I came back, they had handed me my pink slip and said that I was no longer employed. Out of desperation, I went into real estate like a lot of realtors do. And when I got in there, I really had the mindset of what I teach now is no escape, no excuses. In fact, I had so little options that I had to succeed. And that's really one of the ingredients to success, is make sure that you burn the boats, burn the bridges, and close all the escape hatches, and that success is less painful than failure. And I proceeded into it, and in fact, the first year I made one sale. I was not very good. But I never gave up, and I got better every year. And I found that even in that first year, Corey, I loved it, even though I wasn't making money. And that was a clue to me that when you're doing something you love, you will do well. 17 years later, 17 years in a row, I improved my sales between 15 and 50%, almost unheard of in the real estate industry. And I don't say that to impress anybody because I'm just an average guy that grew up on a farm that had a dream. The one thing is that I just got up one more time than I fell down.
That's incredible, Rock. It's a real glimpse into a real person's true life history. Now, when you use the term self-made millionaire, and we've used that term, what exactly does that mean? Because I know that it must mean something to you because you're using that in your bio.
Well, I'll tell you what is I watched, say, like Donald Trump's children, people like that, some of the popular ones today, like Paris Hilton, who have a lot of privileged experiences based on being born into a family that had connections and money. In my particular case, my father went through the war, and he raised us with an iron hand, if you will. I remember eating, my father forcing us to eat the core of an apple because he says, don't waste any food. We had to, if we left a package of bologna open in the fridge, we had to eat the green bologna to teach us to wrap up food the next time. And sometimes eating the peel of an orange because that's all I had for lunch. So we went through some tough times. It's not that we didn't have stuff. It's just it was a little bit thin sometimes. And in the early 90s, I cashed in my RRSPs or 401s in the United States to pay for my father his last few days on this planet because he didn't have any money. I was evicted from my apartment in 1991. I was literally on the street with credit cards maxed out. 6 years later, I bought the number one real estate company in the province of Quebec and never looked back. So when I say self-made millionaire, I mean that nobody gave me a job. Nobody gave me any cash. All I got was the gifts from my father teaching me that if I was committed and creative, I could achieve anything that my heart desired if I was willing to never give in to the opponent. And that's the gift I got from him. God bless him. And that's why I say I'm a self-made millionaire.
That's excellent. What a wonderful story. I can just feel the passion oozing out of you, Rock. That's incredible. And you and I are on the same map in that regard, too. Isn't it true that passion is essential to be successful in life?
1,000%, Corey. And I love the word enthusiasm because it comes from the Greek root enthos, which means spirit or God within. And I believe that the spirit within you ignites passion, and passion is at the root of every success. I don't care who you look at, whether it's Elvis or Tiger Woods or Wayne Gretzky or Oprah, there's a burning flame inside there. And one of the things I get asked all the time is, yeah, well, easy for you, Rock. You've got all this passion. Sure, I wasn't born that way. And I say, BS. It's a belief system that you've been conditioned to believe that you don't have passion. Usually it's because people have become pessimistic, skeptical, and they use that as a defense mechanism in order to protect themselves from being disappointed. Rather than subscribing to what I call is there's no winners or losers in life, there's winners and learners. And if you believe that you get back into the game and you learn, you win, you can never lose again, your passion will increase, guaranteed.
Now, we're getting a fantastic motivational session on this SNU. It's great. I love it. Would you talk about or speak to employees about motivation? And you've got a whole variety of topics that you talk about. But one of the things that we like to get across here to our members and students, because a lot of our are interested in success in business, but also they're into training and exercise and wellness and health. How important is wellness and stress management for today's young entrepreneur when they're going out into the field of business? Do they really have to pay attention to their health and wellness?
Well, this is why I love what you're doing and the cause that you're on, because you're helping to bring to the awareness of the fact that people need to move their body, they need to breathe properly, they need to consume lots of water. They're so simple and fundamental that people go, not important. I exercise every day. Just before I got in this radio show, I was down in my gym and worked out for 45 minutes. I worked out this morning as well, and I'm going to be going to probably play some squash with my son later on this afternoon. The fact of the matter is that if you don't move your body, I mean, we were made to move our bodies, Corey. 90 years ago, there was no such thing as heart disease in North America. 30% of the population were farmers. Today, about 3% of the population are farmers. We weren't meant to sit down. Sitting down is the enemy of our bodies. We were meant to move. We were meant to groove. We were meant to do things. I will often work in my office standing up or on a Swiss ball, and every occasion I get to move my body, I will do it. Most people don't realize that they get to the end of the day and their bodies are tight, cramped, they're sore. What do? They do what I talked about at the beginning of the show, is they find the painkiller. They don't use pain to serve them like winners do. They use pain and they mask it by taking a convenient Tylenol or by taking something else to relax them or boost them up. And they live in a cycle of trying to take something from the outside to make themselves feel better rather than using their body the way it was meant to be moved, moved and used.
Now, you studied with some incredible people, a short list, people like Deepak Chopra, John Gray, Anthony Robbins, Wayne Dyer, Stephen Covey. You know, each one of these guys is incredible. Now, how important do you think that this style of mentorship is regarding self-growth and personal development? How important was it for you in your own career development process?
I'll tell you, Corey, you got to be giving me one of the best interviews I had in a long time because you're asking some phenomenal questions. To me, there's two things that have the power to transform your life more than anything else. One is the way you talk to yourself. So many people say, I can't, it's impossible, I'll try. And they use what I call weak words instead of wise words, because there's a sense of this relationship between how words make us feel. But a mentor is the type of person who knows the road ahead of you. I always say that your friends are comfortable with who you are today, and your mentors are comfortable with who you're going to become tomorrow, and they'll hold you accountable to it. My father was my greatest mentor. Tiger Woods' father was his greatest mentor. And Tiger Woods has a great quote. He says that the older I get, the wiser my father becomes. And what happens is when we're younger, we don't realize the value of wisdom. But mentors are there to say, hey, you know what? I've lived a lifetime. Why don't you learn from what I've learned and compress time, put it in a package, and then emulate that, and you can become, instead of the next CD, you become the MP3. It's an evolution of wisdom that allows us to evolve. That's where the juice of life is in growth. Anybody that feels really good or a sense of happiness is because they've grown or learned something or improved something. So a mentor is absolutely crucial, and I have many of them in different areas of my life, whether it be working out, whether it be in the area of spirituality or in the area of nutrition or in the area of career. I have tons of mentors and coaches because I want the maximum out of my life. I want it all. Maybe I'm greedy, but I want it all. I believe I'm here to expand and become more, and mentors are the key for that.
So is it true that men are from Mars and women are from Venus?
100%. 100%. I mean, I'm divorced twice, and I remember at the end of my second marriage buying that book, and I bought 25 copies and gave them to all of my friends. Of course, most of them didn't read it, but that didn't stop me from giving it to them. And then I went on to meet John Gray, and what a fabulous man. I mean, he is just so wise when it comes to the area of the differences between men and women. And it's an actual art to understand the differences. And to give you a quick example, men love to have their cave time when they come home. They need a little time just to gather themselves, be alone, where women want to share. And understanding that in a relationship can be crucial to people appreciating each other's space rather than getting on top of each other. We do a little seminar, my wife and I, once a year around Valentine's, and we share the distinctions between male and female energy and the different ways that people love to be loved. It's a very powerful experience. But as you may well know, Corey, some of the people you've spoken to, men especially, are not very good admitters. So we'll have about 80% of the people in the room actually be women because they're more open to saying, hey, things aren't going the way I want, and learning from it.
Now, I've met Deepak a couple of times and seen him speak, and he's quite the guy. If there was one little nugget that you might want to share with your experience by meeting him, what would you share with us?
Well, my meeting with Deepak Chopra was kind of like this. You've got to know your intention. You've got to know what you want. Put your attention on your intention, and you've got to let it go. Let it go, my friend. Be one.
That's fantastic. Now, listen, let's talk a little bit about NLP, because you're a certified NLP practitioner. And just for those who aren't up to speed on this type of programming, maybe you can tell us what it is and why you've incorporated it and why you promote it and teach it and use it in your process.
Well, NLP is actually a fairly complex study of the relationship between words and your neurology. The best person that has taken a complex science and simplified it is Tony Robbins. And that's where I was first introduced to it. Then I went on to take some additional studies. But in a nutshell, the way you converse with yourself, the words you use create a feeling. That feeling creates a behavior, and the behavior creates a result. I often say in my seminars is that there's two things you want in life. You either want to change a behavior, quit a habit, or start a new one, or you want to change a feeling in your body. NLP is a direct route to achieve both of those. So in that study, I will help people, for instance, change a pattern of language they have with themselves. If you've ever noticed, some people will say the word like or but, and they say it so habitually that they don't even realize they're saying it. And they try to break that pattern, but they have trouble. So they'll put an elastic around their wrist, or they'll pay 25 cents every time they use the word you know or something like that. The idea being is we want to consciously be aware of the words that make us feel empowered, and we want to eliminate the ones that make us feel disempowered. And so when people say to me, how are you doing, rather than saying like I used to in the past, I would say not bad or, you know, pretty good. Then that message I sent to my cells and my body was for me to be not bad or pretty good. Now what I'll do is when people say, how are you, I'll say great or phenomenal or outstanding or terrific or blessed, sending a message and reminding myself to feel that way. So very simplistically, that's an example of what we do. And again, in my seminars, we'll expand upon that and give some people some exercises and tools so they can actually have a shift in the wiring in their body and create some new fantastic results.
That's outstanding. Now, with those people who have problems eating at nighttime, you know, the nighttime eaters, usually it's at nighttime when the werewolf and the Dracula comes out in us.
Yes.
And I'm just thinking what you just said. Because what I get some of these people to do is they finish up their meal, and then I get them to, instead of sit down and watch TV, which kind of sets in motion a kaleidoscope of subliminal messages to overeat, I get them to walk out the door and go for a short walk, and this changes their state. Would you say that that's a form of NLP?
Yes, I would. I'd say that's an excellent, excellent process. Because really what happens is momentum kicks in at the end of the night, just in a reverse way that we would normally think of it, is they sit down with a full stomach, and then the blood goes to their stomach, and they're digesting, and they're not moving, and their chest is caving in a little bit, the breathing slows. And of course, just because we're programmed, we're anchored, actually, a term used in NLP, when we're on the couch watching TV, we want to do some mindless eating, and we just sort of put popcorn. We actually don't even often taste it. We just put it in as a habit. So I would agree with you, Corey, that sending them out for a walk is a phenomenal state change of environment, and often people will come back, feel energized. It's so funny. People say, I'm too tired to go for a walk. Yet, if they're sitting on the couch and the baby cries or something falls, then they can instantly jump up and get that energy. So it's not a question of ability, it's a question of motivation and focus. And if they condition that in enough where they go after supper for a walk, then it becomes part of who they are. And that's really the essence of my book, The Power of Your Identity, is do things long enough that serve you, and then it becomes who you are. And the old saying is that first we make our habits, and then our habits make us. It's a matter of, can you hang on to the payoff long enough and not focus on the pain of making that change in order to get that new result?
Now, I watched one of the motivational moments on your website, and you spoke about running a marathon. And by the way, that motivational moment is a great concept. Could you share with our listeners what you learned about yourself in that experience?
Yeah, that was a great gift. I learned an awful lot. I learned that the value in wisdom in areas that you don't know. And I made a commitment in front of a group of people to run a marathon. Then I went out to practice, and I really realized I did not enjoy the practicing process, stopped practicing, went to the marathon, had thoughts of backing out, eventually ran it. And after halfway through the marathon, my legs seized up, and I had cramps, and I had to stop and hobble for the last 13 miles. But I had given myself a commitment, and because I do value commitment and my identity is that of a winner, not a quitter, and the old saying is winners never quit and quitters never win, I said to myself, if I have to crawl over that finish line, I will. The bottom line is when I finished, I was in such massive pain that I knew there was a gift in that process. Anytime you experience high levels of pain, there's always a message there. And the message I pulled from it was that when you make a decision, make sure that you recognize the impact. In other words, what are the benefits of doing it and what are the consequences if you don't follow through? So for me, I learned that you must practice. In fact, I started to study it, and I realized that the most successful people in the world, again, the Tiger Woods, the actors and actresses, the peak performers on stage, so on and so forth, they will practice minimum 4 times for every hour of performance. And I came up with this little saying that you must pay the price of practice in private if you want to perform at the highest possible level. So in that experience, Corey, came the gift of me creating that little phrase, and now it's one of the cornerstones of my teaching. Anytime you want to excel, I don't care what it is, you want to be, you know, a great teacher, a great nurse, a great speaker, a great athlete, you must pay the price of private practice in private. And Muhammad Ali said, I hated every hour of practice, but tolerate the pain now and be a champion for the rest of my life.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Now, the book that you mentioned is also the same title as the seminar you offer. I think it's called The Power of Your Identity. Let's take a minute and talk about the book and the seminar, and maybe you could condense what that is and what that provides in terms of benefits to those who maybe want to read your book or attend your seminar.
I'll try and make it as succinct as I possibly can. I believe that we're all after an end result, to feel happy or to make some money, whatever the case may be. And therefore, our behavior is really important. The thing is that the father of our behavior are our belief systems. And our belief systems come from our parents, from our experiences, our teachers, everything we evaluate while we're growing up. And a belief is really just a strong feeling that you can or you cannot do something. You might believe you're shy or you're lazy or that you're smart or that you're beautiful or whatever the case may be. But that belief will determine your behavior. In The Power of Your Identity, what I do is I walk people through a powerful process of identifying the beliefs they currently have that they want to keep that are serving them. For instance, for me, being a hard worker served me. I kept that part of me. I upgraded it to also being a smart worker when I went through the process. You acknowledge also the parts of your identity that aren't serving you. So those are beliefs that aren't serving you. When I was younger, I was called bone dog because I was so skinny, and I was called pizza face because I had so much acne. And those things led me to shy away from people, to move to Australia to get into the sun because I thought that whenever I was in the sun, my acne dried up. So those limiting beliefs caused me to feel unworthy of a lot of things. When I realized that that wasn't serving me, I changed those to, you know what, they're actually serving me to be a little more productive, a little bit more focused, because I feel I had to make it up, and that's a great thing. So in a long, long answer is, we go through your belief system, analyze them, keep the good ones, upgrade the bad ones, and then we transform your identity into one that you choose, ideally, and that empowers you. The three that resonate with me most are, if you're committed and creative, you can achieve whatever you want, as long as you are going to learn from something. In other words, I believe that if you're empowered, you're an inverse paranoid, which means that you believe the world is conspiring to give you success. So everything that comes at you, you use it to serve you, whether it be a bad experience or not. The tool we use for that is we ask ourselves, what's great about this, repeatedly until we find the message therein. So when you have a few of these powerful beliefs, you can see that you'll actually increase your energy, you'll change your behavior, you'll change your results, and you'll now have a cycle where you're spiraling up rather than down, like about 80% of the population.
It's funny you mentioned nicknames. Mine used to be, when I was little, Apple Core. And the reason I mentioned that is because I used to eat apple cores.
Oh, my gosh.
I used to eat the whole thing when I was a kid. And even to this day, my sister still calls me apple core.
Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious.
But, you know, you're talking about, you know, I was going through your site, and it's a brilliant site. And everyone out there, I really invite you to get to Rock's site and give it a whirl, because there's some fantastic information there. But one of the things I came across was something about clarity of purpose. And, you know, from my Bible school days years and years ago, I learned about, in the book of Isaiah, it says, my people are destroyed because they lack vision. How important is it that we have clarity of purpose in our life, Rock?
Well, I would say that it's number one on my list. I really believe that there's no way you will ever fulfill yourself if you don't live your purpose. You will never have the energy required to go over everything. You know, you talked earlier about people that after dinner, they sit down on the couch, watch TV, and eat. The reason they do that is they haven't locked into their purpose. I can guarantee you. When people are on purpose, food takes a back seat, sleep takes a back seat, and not in a bad way, but in a great way, because you feel so alive, you feel so focused, you feel so fulfilled because you're making a difference in the world that you are just compelled forward. You are pulled toward creation. You are alive. You wake up with ideas swimming in your head, and it's a beautiful experience. I can go for hours and hours without eating, without going to the bathroom, because I'm so engrossed on trying to find a technique or a skill to share with other people. My mission statement or my purpose statement, and we have a seminar called Supercharge Your Mindset where we help people find theirs, is simply that I want to be happy for no good reason. I want to discover or create success strategies to help people, and I want to share them with as many people as possible. So my mission statement is basically be, create, and share. And we teach people how to do that. And I'll tell you what, I have people that email me after that course and they say that their life is transformed. They feel more fully alive, more energetic. The cravings they had before for food or cigarettes or alcohol are just disappearing because they're now latched into their life's mission, the purpose, the problem that they are here to solve. And it's a beautiful thing. So how important is it? It's everything. Without it, you will never be fully alive.
Fantastic. Rock, our time is gone, and it's been an incredible interview. I want to thank you so much for the insight into living and your comments. Now, what is your website address so we can get as many of our members and students to your site as possible?
www.rockthomas.com. And there's a bunch of free things on there, like you mentioned, motivational moments they can get every week. And they have teleseminars that I do once a month that they can subscribe to. There's a bunch of stuff, bits of information, articles, and radio show postings and stuff. So there's a wealth of information there. And we just want to get the information to people so they can make the shifts and changes that they may desire to make.
From somebody with your caliber and your experience and your expertise, we would love for you to share just one parting line or comment that would leave a fresh taste of clarity in our minds, Rocky. Have you got something for us?
Well, I do a seminar called Make It Happen, and what I usually say to people at the end is I say, in your life, you know, you are meant to spend it, not save it. So go all in, play all out, and you will make it happen.
Rock Thomas is a successful entrepreneur, acclaimed peak performance coach, radio personality, keynote speaker, and author of The Power of Your Identity. Rock, we thank you very much for participating as our special expert guest on this edition of SNU.
It's been a pleasure, Corey. I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.